You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
But see, I know that that is not the right, wasn't the right way to go. I knew that I had to build that foundation in my recovery and learn how to love myself. I had to sit in those rooms and listen to the people in those rooms that had some quality sobriety and see how they lived their life. And I wanted to, I wanted to hang out with the winners, the people that were staying clean and sober. And I knew that if I got into a relationship, that was going to be a big distraction for me. So I just hung in there, and like I said, I met him in the rooms, and he had approached me several times, and I kind of blew him off, you know, because I was kind of at that point, you know, I was still kind of early in my recovery, and I wanted to make sure that I stayed focused in what I had to do. So when we first met, you know, we had a big discussion about, you know, being in a relationship and recovery and all this kind of things and the challenges we were going to be facing and that type of thing. But, you know, it seems like that that God worked everything out, and I'm grateful for that today. And, you know, we wasn't out looking for anybody. I wasn't looking for anybody, and he wasn't looking for anybody. And that's the beautiful thing about our relationship.
Yeah, I was just thinking, do you think that's maybe the secret formula, that when we're looking or when we're needy, those are the worst times to hook up?
Yes, definitely. I do. I believe that. It's like I said, the program works for us when we work the program. And if we listen to what the book says, or people has been around a while, and it says, everything happens in our life on God's time, not on my time. Mm-hmm. So I think because I was patient and doing what I needed to do one day at a time, God put her in my life when I needed her and when he wanted her to be in my life, not when Robert wanted in his life at that time.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you think that too?
Yes, I definitely do. I just really think that it was a great thing, and it was a great blessing to meet such a person that really, truly, you know, I really know that he loves me, and
yes.
He's not with me because, you know, what I can give him or what he can get from me or, you know, whatever I could benefit from or what he can benefit from. We met each other, and we loved each other as people, as human beings, you know, and I think that means a lot, and that's the way it should be, rather than looking, as he was saying, for ulterior motives. Well, you know, he's got a little money, or she's got a little money, or, you know, what I can get from him, or mm-hmm. what he can get from me. And there's one thing that we did have in common, and that's, like I said, our program and our recovery, and we know how serious it is to continue to work our program, even though we, you know, we have our everyday lives, and we love each other and everything, but we still respect one another. I respect his time, and he respects my time for us, our recovery.
And you're recovering from?
I'm recovering from alcohol and crack cocaine.
So hardcore street drug and alcohol.
Yes.
And you, Robert?
Just alcohol.
The alcohol,
yes.
Which is enough, huh? That
yes.
will take you to the streets, too. But so both of you have, it sounds like, a deep appreciation for this chronic disease you have to treat above all else.
Oh, yes. Stephanie, you know, as we were talking about earlier, the fact that even though we were on different drugs, for the most part, the bottom line is it's all an addiction.
Right.
And what works for one works for the other, you know. So while maybe I can't understand some of the terms she uses about particular drugs or the reaction to that, I knew that the bottom line, though, is addiction is addiction.
Yes.
And what's going to help me and my recovery is going to help her as well, or vice versa.
Do you guys think most alcoholics and addicts, just by nature, are a lonelier breed of people? And do you think because of that loneliness, that does encourage a lot of unhealthy relationships starting?
Yes, I do.
That loneliness, that soul sickness, the talks.
Yes, and the thing about it is that people that are in an addiction, you know, those behaviors, see, in the program it says, and in the big book it says, it's our thinking
yes.
that we have to change, and our behaviors and the things that we used to do when we were out there using, and a lot of people don't work on that.
Yeah.
You know, they tend to skip over that, and they want to still be that same person that they were when they're out there
in their
addiction.
That's true.
Exactly, and your whole demeanor, your whole way of life, your behavior, your thinking, everything has to change. Your environment has to change. You have to get around positive people. You have to be around recovering people, people that are actually working this program. And for me, most of all, you know, I have to depend on my higher power. I have to depend on God because, you know, it wasn't anything that I've done. It's all about, you know, this program, this spiritual program that we're working, and it's about my higher power, you know.
So do you think, Eddie, you realized early on, you too, Robert, that no human power could relieve this loneliness, that you had to find another power to take care of that hole in the soul? It couldn't be another man or another woman.
Well, I know for me, yes, because, you know, I always reflect back that my best thinking got me into where I was.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very easy. It's very easy even today for me to go back to the old way of thinking, except if I let God work in my life, you know, then I might think it, I won't do it today. And that's a lot of difference in old days. Old days, if I thought it, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Today is I try to do what I believe is my God's will, and things work out better. Even though, you know, I always tell people, recovery, I don't care how long you've been in, there are going to be times in recovery when you're going to have questions, even of your God. It's like, why is this happening to me?
Sure.
You know, why am I having such a hard time? Why are things going bad? But as I shared the other day, the one thing we learn in recovery is it's about experience and growth. And for everything that you feel is bad in your life, there are good things that come out of it if you just keep working the program mm-hmm. and believing in your higher power. Yeah. So it is great that way. It's sometimes uncomfortable because I have to wait. But if I wait and do the right thing, then I'm always better off for that.
Have that faith.
Yes.
But have you heard the saying, I heard it early on, if you pray for potatoes, you still have to get the hoe.
Right. Yes.
So you pray,
yeah.
But you got to do some work.
And
so to have a healthy relationship, a healthy marriage, you
right.
got to have God in it. But what kind of work have you two realized you have to do, too?
Basically, I know that, you know, they talk about in recovery that we have to have a balance in our life. So even though I'm a working person, I work outside of the home,
mm-hmm.
and he, you know, he's retired. I still, even though I know I can get caught up in my routine, you know, my job and, you know, my program, you know, sponsoring my girls. And I have a really busy life and doing some activities in the church and that kind of thing. You know, I have to still, I mean, my mind goes everywhere. I have elderly parents that I have to think about. So time to time I have to say, okay, let me, you know, call and see if they need anything. So my mind is like in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
But still, I know that I have to always keep in mind that I'm married and I have a husband at home, even though, you know, I know he's okay. He still, you know, requires that time because, you know, that's a priority. Priority is that I have to stop. Sometimes I just have to stop and say, okay, I'm not doing anything else. I'm going to focus on my husband and spend some quality time with him.
Good for you. Wow. Yeah. Do you sometimes feel, Robert, since you are retired, that she gets caught up and you're kind of left back here?
No, I
you could flunk retirement and go to work with her, you know.
No, I busy my life every day because I've always been the type of person, even with my other relationships, if I'm at home and not working and the woman is not working, then my responsibility is to do the thing that needs to be done around the home. You know, I clean the house, I cook, I do clothes, and it's like, why not?
Yeah.
And a lot of men would say, that's a woman's job. Well, you know, a marriage is about sharing, it's about responsibility, and it's partnership, right?
Absolutely.
If she can go out the door and work, then how come I can't work in the home? You know, and I do, and that's what I do.
Are there any other Roberts out there? If so, would you please call 424-1400 and ask for Lisa? We have to take a break. But do call if there's some Roberts out there. I want to meet you.
Thank you.
Let's take a few-minute break. Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We will be right back.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warwick County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back. We're talking to Robert and Etta about a marriage and a partnership and a friendship and having a family and also dealing with trying not to pick up a drink or a drug or a mood-altering chemical a day at a time. And we're rocking and rolling talking to them about their marriage and their relationship and their challenges. How did your families react to each other when you two met?
Well, I know I can respond to that. Because of my past and the past relationships that I had, you know, my family and my children, they felt like that I shouldn't have been in a relationship or, you know, it's too early. They didn't really want to accept it, but finally they did accept it. But it was really hard. I remember I called my daughter and she says, I said, you know, I think I'm gonna get married. And I met a really nice guy, you know. And she did not respond very well to that. She just didn't like it. And she says, Mom, I have something to talk to you about. And I just don't feel that you should get married. And so I think she had a little attitude behind it. Because she thought that, I think that she just thought that, well, there go my mom again. And I think that because of my past, my addiction and everything, sure, that she felt like somebody was going to take me right back into it. So I think that there was some fear going on there.
Protective. But,
yeah, she was very, very protective. And so was my mom. It was my mom and my daughter that were really, really concerned.
Because they saw you go off into these relationships and get hurt.
Yes, exactly. And that was the first thing. And, you know, being early in recovery, you know, there was no time there to prove myself or to show them any type of responsibility and being accountable. You know, the only thing that they knew was that she was irresponsible, she wasn't dependable, and she's out there using.
And so, she doesn't find the right man
because, you know, they always say that, you know, who you are is who you attract. So
yeah,
if I was out there in my addiction, it was like all of the men I attracted to me were, you know, there were alcoholics or addicts. So
absolutely.
And that's one thing that we have to correct. You know, we have to know, you know, how to pick people and partner and relationships.
So, Etta, did people tell you not to be involved early in recovery? I remember hearing, don't get involved that first year in recovery. But you'd been already in over a year, right, with AA. You had a slip, but you'd had over a year.
Yes.
Days. Okay.
Yes, I did.
So you weren't brand new to AA.
I wasn't brand new to the program. I
so
knew
you
what
knew
I had
about AA, and okay,
yes.
So you had that grounding.
I did have that grounding, and then after I got out of treatment, I went straight to the YWCA, and that's a 6-month program.
Yes.
There. And you know, we talked about that, Lisa, and that program has really, really, really helped me. It really enhanced my life, and it's really helped me to
be focused,
and also helped me to build a strong foundation in this program.
You know, more women have said that, Robert, that have been on here, that
yes,
if it hadn't have been for having a sober living, Octavia said that, Darlene, everybody, Twyla, if they hadn't had that sober living environment, they probably would have gone off and into a bad deal.
Bad relationship, right. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get back to one thing you asked, kind of ironic when we first got together. I took to introduce her to my sister, and that's basically my family I have around there. And they already knew each other.
Oh.
It was comical.
Did they know it before they met, or they saw each other and then realized?
They knew each other because of their
pasts.
passing in their habits.
Oh.
And so when I met her and I took her to introduce myself, she said, I already know her. And I'm like, okay. And then on the other side of the coin, her sister-in-law, I knew her sister-in-law way back when I was about 20 years old. Her sister-in-law and I used to run around together. And so when I met her, she goes, I already know him. You know, so it was kind of funny. But you mentioned a point earlier. We were talking about in the relationship and dealing with our addictions. And we touched on this. About when you're in a relationship with another recovering person, you have that tendency to always want to help them in their recovery.
Yeah, and sponsor them.
Yeah, sponsor them more or less. Because, you know, and if in my case, you know, I got a couple of 24 hours more than she does, there would always be that tendency to want to say, look here, I know what you need, and let me share that with you.
Yeah.
But the one thing that we do all the time is, whenever she has a problem, most of the time I say, look, call your sponsor. Go to a meeting. Take it to God.
You don't try to fix it?
No, I don't try to fix it. That's not my job, you know. My job is working on our marriage, and her job is working on her recovery. When she does that, our marriage will get better and stay better because of that. But it would be very easy for her to have a resentment against me if I even try to give her advice.
That's true.
You know, and I look at that point. I know... Sometimes, she's gotten to the point, because she's young and recovered, she'll come in there and she'll be off the wall, and I go, and I've said a couple of things to her, and she look at me and go like, I don't like what you're saying, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's not mad at me, she's just mad at what I'm saying might be
she
right.
She was mad before she got to you.
Right, yeah. So I give her hopefully a solution, and then she'll go and she'll work on it, and she'll come back and she'll say, well, thanks. And I go, okay. But basically, I try to stay out of her recovery. To the point, you know, other than when she comes in sometimes early in our marriage where she was so weighed up with what was going on, and I say something to her, you know, and she look at me like, you know, you're right, I don't want to hear that today. We don't want to hear it, you know, we know you're right.
Well, yeah, and it's hard to know when are you trying to sponsor me and when are you trying to be my husband.
Right,
It's sometimes in recovering relationships hard to separate because we are each other's sponsors coaches and partners and husbands.
Yeah. But she gets to the shot, and she would get mad, and I said, call your sponsor. She said, well, like, you got enough experience.
She wants to throw a big book at you.
You can share this. You know, you know the answer. Someone's your sponsor.
So you keep that. Good. Yeah. How do you guys handle, and this is something the big book talks about, right next to fear, jealousy. How in a relationship when we're so sensitive do you handle jealousy?
Well, I guess I can speak on that. I know when we first were in the... In our relationship in the beginning, you know, I was still in that growing process, and you know, some of those old feelings I was still dealing with, and emotions and things, you know, that wasn't totally healthy before, you know, we started dating. And, you know, I know he had been around the room. See, I didn't even think about this. The fact that he's been around these rooms for 20 years and he knows a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's contacted a lot of people and been involved with a lot of people in this program. And women would come up to him and say, oh, hi, Robert, and give him a big hug and stand there and have conversations with him and that type of thing. And I kind of stepped back and kind of felt like I was left out, you know, because I didn't know these people. And it took me a little while to recognize and realize that, hey, this man know these people. He's known them before he's known me. So,
yeah.
You know, it took me a while to adjust to that. To accept it. Yeah,
yeah,
to accept that. And
it also takes him including you.
Yes, yes.
That's important, too.
Yes, that we're included.
That you understand her sensitivity and include her in your, not all your relationships, because you deserve to have your own, and so do you, but that you're sensitive to her feeling left out sometimes because of your popularity in the
program. Right, yeah. You know, I mean, it's like anything in a marriage or a relationship. When she brought it up, you know, and I'd go, honey, you know, I've known so-and-so for so many years. When I go up and hug... like you, for instance, you know, we hug. I mean, you might kiss you on the jaw, you might kiss me on the jaw, and it doesn't mean nothing except love that we have for each other because of our recovery. And for her to get past that point, you know, but I think it's like she said, she was still growing a lot, and to understand that sometimes we misinterpret what we see, you know,
that's for sure.
Until we get to the bottom line and learn to ask the real question, what are you doing? What's it all about? You know,
don't assume.
Don't assume, yeah. Right. And so since then, she teases me all the time, but I know it doesn't work.
Now she's getting pretty popular too, Robert.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get to see how it feels.
I already know how it feels. You know. She was probably anyhow before, the more she stays around.
In closing, one of the things too that you two brought out, or that I interpreted in our discussion, is now you both know that you're the most important person in each other's life.
Oh, yeah.
Recovery's number one, but that you're the most important person in his life, and he's the most important in your life. And if two people can believe that about their partners, they can have happiness, can't they?
Yes. Oh, yes. Like I said, you have to, you have to just be aware that, what the marriage is about. Marriage is about each other, about having that balance in your life and not forgetting that partner's there.
That's right.
We do have priorities, and we have different things that we have to do in our lives. But I know that I can't just totally forget that, hey, he's there, And like he says, it's a partnership. It's a partnership. So
it's a lot of work.
It is. It is a lot of work.
Trying to figure him out since Adam's and Eve's kids killed each other. So thank you for coming to Radio Rehab today. Robert, did you want to say something?
Right quick. I think the great thing about our marriage is the fact that we've learned how to live with the good times and the bad times. And we have it for both of them.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
And isn't Christmas, Hanukkah, all these, the holiday time about love and celebrating that with each other in the world?
Yes, but you know what? I tell her, she has Christmas every day.
Oh, Santa Claus.
That's right. Because, when we were back in our relationship, and then we have Christmas every day.
Oh, that's beautiful. What a great way to end. And you guys that are listening to us at Radio Rehab, come back again next week. We'll share more just about how to live with each other, how to live with God in our life, whatever that God is, and to celebrate sobriety with the world. That's what we're about here today. And thank you, Robert and Etta, for sharing your love and your partnership.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Lisa.
You all, don't forget, before we see you and hear from you again next week, don't forget to do the next right thing. This is Lisa Seif signing off from Radio Rehab.
The Pump, 1400 AM, WEOA, Evansville, Henderson.